We believe, and I bet some of you are believe this as well, that the stories of the Bible are to give us hope and to give us faith and courage to believe that those same things can happen in our own lives. But oftentimes we look back and we just celebrate those stories. But I can tell you that the goodness of God is being poured out on the earth. It's being poured out on the earth. And it's just a matter now of you being able to find it, to be able to see what He's doing and be able to participate in that. And so I've got a person that I've invited to come today to share some of the goodness of God. It is a modern-day miracle. It's a story of someone who came from a situation, and as God began to get into this person's life, things began to change. God makes all things new, right? When he comes in, He just starts redeeming and changing things and changing us, changing our circumstances. And so, Mr. Ernestine, I want you to come now, and I'm going to give you this mic. I want to introduce all of you to a new friend of mine. This is Miss Ernestine Feaster.
Good morning.
you want to sit? You and I'll sit. The reason I've invited Miss Ernestine to come is Miss Ernestine made the front page of the Chester News and Reporter. And the front page of the story said, "This is my house." And there was a picture. Yeah, you can clap. And so there was a picture of the I-58 house. It's the house we've been working on for quite some time. And we were supposed to close on this house like the end of June. And it took to the end of September, right? Whoo! And Miss Ernestine is our first homeowner, and I don't think we could have picked a better person, quite frankly. So Miss Ernestine is the message. What God has done in her life, this is the message, because I believe it'll stir up hope inside of you. Miss Ernestine, if He'll do it for you, He'll do it for them, right?
Amen. Nobody knows like I know. Nobody. All you have to do is just trust Him. I'm a firm believer, if you just take one step, make one step, that's all you got to do.
Miss Ernestine, tell them, what is it like to be a homeowner now? How's that feel for you?
Amazing. I still wake up still saying, "Thank you, Lord." The circumstances that I was in, I just wasn't happy. And don't ever let anybody tell you that you can't do it. Don't ever. And stop telling yourself that. Number one, stop telling yourself that you can't do it.
If you don't mind, I would love, you don't have to name names, but I would love for you to give them a little bit of your story. Say, but we'll do the before Christ, the BC, okay? Tell them sort of what life was like before Christ. Because you came to know Christ, what, like 6 years ago was really that moment of conversion for you?
Yeah.
So what was life like before that?
When I actually thought I was happy, it was miserable. When you don't want to go home, or where you at, where you living at the time. But I realized that some of the things that we go through, it was so necessary for me. It brought me... It was so necessary that I went through it. Because look at me now. Who would have thought that I would have been a homeowner? Me? Me. But God is so good. When you really get to know him, I'm not talking about pretending. I'm talking about when your back is against the wall. When your back is up against the wall and there's nobody there, nobody. But He's always right there. You got to remember that He's always right there, always. Even through the times when you think you're all alone. Now when I sit back and I say, "Okay, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the good and the bad. Thank you." Because look at me now. I have a mortgage payment, and I am thankful. I am so thankful. I thought I'd never see the day when I say, "Thank you, Lord, for a mortgage."
I want
Who
to
would
take
have
you.
thought?
I want to take you back for a minute because I wonder if there's somebody in the room that needs to hear this. You said in that, I'll never forget. We were over at her new house, by the way. We're sitting on her couch and we're just talking. If I remember correctly, you told me, you said, if somebody loves you, then they won't hurt you like that. Isn't that right? When she came to know Christ, that's when it settled in. And you find true love. You know, when you encounter true love, then you know, wait a minute, if somebody says they love me, they're not going to hurt me like this. And it gave you courage, right? God
yes,
gave
it
you
did.
courage.
It gave, you wouldn't believe the courage it gave me. I'm sitting here talking. Never done anything like this in my life. But it feels so good. I was nervous at first, and I'm like, okay, God, you got me. You always, He always have you. Always. Don't ever think that He's not there. Ever. I'm looking at some faces that I'm familiar with, that I've talked with in the laundromat. Hey, Susie. And I was sitting there. I was actually thinking about y'all the other day because I don't have to go to the laundromat anymore. Look at John, huh? Huh? Yeah, because you know what, Susie? The first time I rode by that house, I'm like, this is my house. I don't know, something just came over me, and I'm in the car talking to God like I'm talking to you. Okay, God, this is mine. But then when I went to the open house, and Leslie was standing on the porch, and I saw that big smile. It was like an angel. I said it again. Okay, God, this is my house. Hallelujah, this is my house. And look at, I'm in my house.
Hey, you gathered them up in the back bedroom, right? The day that you went for the tour?
Yes.
Tell them what you did.
Went back there, me and Leslie walked back there, and I turned around and I looked at Leslie, and I say, Leslie, this is my house. Just like that.
Now you didn't, I don't want to spoil the surprise. When did you tell your family that you were a homeowner?
The day I closed.
So let's make sure they understand. You didn't tell them that you were in this process, did you?
No, I didn't.
Why didn't you tell them?
Because it was personal. It was between me and God. Every morning I would wake up with tears running down my face, talking to God. Just talking. Way before the house was even built, I'm just talking. And I knew that it was coming. I knew. Nobody wasn't going to make me believe it was coming. Nobody. I felt it. I just didn't know when, but patience. Oh, you got to be patient. I had to learn. You know what I learned through the process of going or waiting to get in my house? Patience. Patience is a good thing if you actually think about it. Because it brought me closer. Because I wasn't giving up. Okay, God, this roadblock might have come up, but hey, I'm here. I'm still here. Okay, God, what's next? Yeah, yeah. But I never once thought that I wasn't going to get the house. I never, ever thought that I wasn't going to get it. Hallelujah! I never thought that I wasn't going to get it. I never thought I wasn't going to get it. Just patience. Okay, God, I'm on your time. Yeah.
she'll preach a little bit if you let her. Yeah, and I'm trying to let you, so you go right ahead, okay? Okay. Now, not everybody thought you were going to get it, right?
No, they didn't.
Tell them about that, because sometimes you believe something, but not everybody else sees it that way. So what did some folks tell you?
Oh, you can't do it. You don't make enough money. All kind of stuff. If God said it, I believe it. Huh? Huh? If He said it, I believe it. And that's all that matters. Anybody, Susie, anybody.
When did you tell them that it was your house?
When I had closed and I was telling them I needed some blinds put up.
So I think Leslie measures the blinds so she gets the right sizes. And then it was it your brother that you talked to? Tell him that, because that's kind of funny.
I called him my brother, and I say, I need you to put some blinds up. He said, well, I'll be there in a little bit. I said, no, I'm coming to get you. He said, well, I know, it ain't like I don't know where you live. Yes, no, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know where I live. As a matter of fact, you don't.
So you left Walmart and you took him over to your new house, right?
Yes, but if you hadn't seen the look on their face, because my niece was there too, but it was such a feeling. Because I'm telling them, just like I'm telling y'all, if I can do it, anybody, who would have thought?
So you were doing it not just for you, right?
No, because I want the generation that's coming before me. I want them to see what God can do. Huh? Not what I can do, what God can do. Look at him. Because nobody can't tell me it wasn't him. I want them to see what God can do. Number one, look at me. If you have, some of y'all know me. Don't act like you don't know me. You knew me years before now. Yeah. Oh, wasn't I a mess? Look at me now. Hallelujah, look at me. Won't he turn it around? All you got to do is just trust him. Just trust him.
So this is like about a 6-year turnaround, right?
Yes, it is.
Did 6 years feel like a long time? You know, when you're trusting God through these 6 years to change things, were there points at which you felt like, man, this thing is moving slow?
Yes, but you'd be okay. You're okay. All you got to do is trust him. I had to learn that. I didn't understand why he was moving certain people out of my life. I didn't understand it, but I know it was the best thing for me. Can't nobody tell me that it wasn't. I didn't understand. Lord, you for myself. Yes. I didn't understand it, but Lord, it was the best thing that could ever happen to me. And there was one point in my life where, Lord, everything... I couldn't understand. Lord, my family acting like they don't love me. They just, man, hallelujah, but thank you, Lord. Me and my family are closer than ever. We ever been.
He's not done yet, right?
Of course not.
Tell him.
Of course not.
Tell him that the day that we were on your couch, you said that you were believing God for something, and now that's changed too. So you got to tell him that God, it wasn't done with the house. He was still moving.
Of course. I had been praying to God about a first shift job. I'm on second shift. I work in Fort Mill. I wanted to be at home at night. Well, as of November the 5th, I'll be on first shift. My PV came to me last Tuesday and told me, you got the job. Hallelujah. Look at God. Didn't I tell you? And I'm still saying he's not done. He still ain't done.
Are you trusting him for anything else you can tell us about?
I'm trusting him to heal my family. I'm believing that it's going to happen. Amen. Nobody can't tell me different. Look what he's done. Look what he's still doing. I believe that he's going to heal them. All of them. Not just my family. Just Chester in general. I believe that. Come on, we got to do better by each other.
What do you want these folks to know about God? What have you learned through this experience that you want these folks to know about God?
That he loves you. You just got to believe it. Just believe it. Trust him. Trust him. Even when things ain't going your way, trust him. Just trust him. I guarantee you. I can guarantee you he won't let you down. It might not be what you want, but it'll be what's best for you. I guarantee you it'll be what's best for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, there are times where the Lord needs somebody that'll go ahead and they'll make a way. And I believe that Miss Feaster is one of those waymakers, that somebody's got to start out so that others can follow. Somebody's got to believe so that others can come behind and believe. They need just a little bit of evidence, you know. Sometimes you need to just see somebody where God is moving so that you can believe too. And so I just want us to pray, because He's not done with her, right? That's clear. He's not done with you. He's not done with her. And I believe that this Miss Feaster will stand as this light, as salt to a community that needs to know that God is good, right? That needs to know that God loves them and that God is not done. So y'all raise your hands toward Miss Feaster. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for what You have done. I thank You for her patience, Lord, in the midst of setbacks and slowdowns and delays, that, Lord, she kept trusting in You. Father, I thank You that the reward, Lord, of her faith in You is that You saw it through. Lord, You did it. Father, she is a testimony of Your power and Your grace, Your love and Your goodness. And I pray that she will stand that way through the test of time. I pray, Lord, that that house, that that lot will be a light into that community. Lord, as I'm finding out, there are lights all over that community already. And we say, Lord, let them shine bright. Lord, I believe the enemy has tried to keep some of them under a basket. They've tried to cover some of those lights. But I pray today in the name of Jesus that those lights will shine. And that, Lord, Your goodness will pour out over our community. I pray for Your goodness to pour out over somebody today who didn't maybe have enough faith to believe until now. But Lord, now there's a sense that You'll do it for them. So Father, we just pray it in the name of Jesus. Let it be so. Amen. 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 'Cause I want to just do one thing and then we're going to do ministry time, because I believe that there are people here today and maybe somebody spoke something over your life at some point and it was a lie. Maybe somebody told you couldn't do it, or that you couldn't have it, or you couldn't get there from here. And so I just want to summarize some things scripturally for us before we do a time of ministry today. And if I had to title this thing, I would title it this: Who Said? Who said? Who maybe lied to you and told you something that wasn't true, and now you've built an entire life maybe around a lie. And that today, because one person was able to see past the lie to the truth. I love the fact that she said, when people said she couldn't do it, Miss Feaster said, I had to just kind of put them behind me because I couldn't let them influence what I was doing. And so I had to put them behind me and I had to just keep trusting what God was telling me. So I want to take you to Genesis real quickly. It's Genesis chapter 3. It's all the way back to the beginning. And I'll tell you this, that there are times in your life that God is saying something to you. He's been trying to say, you couldn't hear it. And the reason is because there's so many doggone voices in the world right now, right? I mean, there's people coming at you from everywhere and everybody's talking and everybody's giving their opinion. And on social media, you don't have to know anything to give your opinion, right? You don't have to be an expert. Just anybody can say anything. And so there's voices everywhere. There are naysayers. There are people, it doesn't matter what you try to do. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what you try to do. Somebody's going to come up and say, no, you can't, and here's why. There are naysayers in the world. Maybe they were disappointed in life, and they're thinking, if I'm going to be disappointed, I'm going to make sure everybody else is disappointed too. You know, misery loves company. There are people and they're like, well, I just don't want you to get disappointed. I don't want you to get your hopes up, Miss Feaster, that you're gonna have something and then it not happen. So don't even get your hopes up. You know, I don't want you to be disappointed. And then there's just the enemy who comes to us, who tries to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar. And so he may tell you a little something that's the truth, but I assure you it's not for your good interest. And so he lies to us. There are times that we talk to ourselves and we say damaging things. We We say things about ourselves that simply are not true. And so there are all these voices, and you find in the garden that this enemy comes, the devil, and it says that he's crafty, and Adam and Eve are there. And in chapter 3, verse 1, he introduces a question, and he says, has God said? The enemy most often wants you to question what God has said. That's what he's trying to get at. He's trying to get you to question God. And he says, has God said that you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? See, that wasn't true. And so Eve, she says, no, that's not what God said. God said that we can't eat of this one tree in the middle of the garden, because if we do, we'll die. And in verse 4, we get this lie from the enemy. And he says, you surely will not die. Now, it's deeper than that. This is not a little white lie. This is to get people to question the very nature and goodness and truthfulness of God. This is an attack on the nature of God itself. That's what these lies do. They are trying to attack the very nature of God in your life. He says, you're not going to die. And then it says, they took this fruit. He was crafty. So they bought into the lie and they ate, and their eyes were opened up. And for the first time, they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed. Now, here's the thing. They'd always been naked. They were naked from the very beginning. In fact, in chapter 2, verse 25, it says they were naked and they were unashamed. You see, at one point in time, they had such an open and an honest relationship with God that you didn't have to cover up. You didn't have to present yourself in a way that you weren't. You didn't have to re-image yourself. You could just go before God as you were. They were naked and they were unashamed. But as soon as they turn from God, what happens is instantly shame comes in. I wonder if there's anybody in the room that's dealing with shame. And because of that shame, you're doing exactly what Adam and Eve did. You're trying to find a way to cover it up. When you sin, it's not only that there's conviction there, but there's a heap of shame that comes on. And somehow you feel like you got to cover up. And so you start trying to be somebody to somebody else to not be who you really are. Because you think, if they know me for who I really am, they're not going to love me. If anybody ever finds out who I truly am, this thing's over. Do you know how many relationships, husbands and wives, are not built on transparency and truth? They're carefully veiled images of who you want them to believe you are. You can live an entire life like that, of constantly re-imaging yourself, because you go into every relationship thinking, I'm not good enough like I am. I'm not good enough, so I've got to cover up. And so when they turn from God, there is shame. They try to cover up, and it says they were afraid. It's the first mention of fear. Do you realize that every time you turn from God towards something, you are turning from light to darkness? You are turning from truth to a lie. And when you get afraid, that's the evidence that you've turned. That's the evidence that you're no longer looking. I'm about to preach to somebody. That's the moment when you get afraid. It's because you're no longer face to face. Do you know when you're face to face with God, you won't be afraid? When you're looking in face to face, it doesn't matter what else is around you. It won't matter. It won't matter what people say. It won't matter what they're doing. You're face to face with God, the one who loves you. You're not afraid. It is when we turn from the face to face, when shame causes us to turn from God. God comes into the garden and he says, where are you? It's not because they're lost and he can't find them. He knows where they're at. He says, where are you? A better translation of that would be this. Now listen to this. A better translation is this. How is it between you and me? He wants to know the nature of their relationship. He's not asking them where they are because they're lost. He says, Adam, how is it with you and me? How are we? And what does Adam say? He says, I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid. Why? Because he's turned from the face of God. He's gone in his own direction. And now he thinks that God is going to be angry. And so he clothes himself and he hides himself. And even worse, this thing deteriorates so fast. Watch this. It moves from a face-to-face relationship to God to turning from God to being afraid. And now watch this. And I'm going to put a little animation into this. Okay, so God says, who told you that you were naked? There's the question. Who said? Who said? Who told you you were naked? Who are you listening to? Can I ask you that? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the one trying to turn you from God? Are you listening to the shame of the turning? Or are you listening to God? Who are you listening to? And it's gone downhill so fast. Here's my animation. Adam, man, looks at God, and I think he wagged his finger. I don't know. I'm putting it in there, okay? I'll let you decide. I think he wagged his finger at God. Listen to this. The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate it. God, it's your fault. Did I just read that in there, or do you think that's highly likely? Huh? He went from turning to now he has his finger in the face of God. And he says, that woman that you gave me is the problem. And women, you know we are not the problem. Right? You know, you are not the problem. In fact, I don't want to get off track too much, but guess what? It is out of that woman, not that man. I believe that woman was deceived. I believe Adam had actually already turned. Because you said he was charged with keeping the garden, and when you find the devil, he's in the garden. Fellas, I know you like to blame the women. But I believe there's evidence to suggest that we didn't keep the garden. And she got rightfully deceived. And her answer is, man, I got deceived. And that was the truth. But what does Adam do? He sticks his finger in the face of God. And he says, you're not good because you gave me this woman. How many times is it that you have wagged your finger at God and said, you are not good? Because the devil has turned you so far. That you've gotten so far that you've lost sight of the goodness of God. And you are listening to people and they are telling you lies. And now your life is not built on the truth of God's Word, but it's built on those lies. And so you have become surrounded by the lie. And what you thought has become a belief system. And now your belief system has created the actions that take place. And now you're stuck in sin just like them. What are you going to do? And the world tells you that that's when God turns His back because He can't look on you. And I would say, but look in the garden and see what God did. When you sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, God did not turn His back. He came to them. Amen. In fact, I believe He's asking them questions because He's trying to get him to repent. He's trying to get him to turn back. He said, I'm going to ask you a few questions to see if I can't get you back to the right point. But he's turned too much. And so I need to ask you, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you listening to the naysayers? Are you listening to the culture? Are you listening to the enemy? Are you listening to the voices inside of your head? Or are you listening to Holy Spirit? And what are those voices saying? If what they are saying is not consistent with the Word of God, then it is a lie, and you need to consult the Word of God for the truth. You see, you don't need to read your Bible because you think that if you don't, God's going to get mad at you. You need to read your Bible so that you'll know the truth, so that when a lie comes, you'll know how to fight. That's why we pick up our Bibles. That's why we need to know the truth. That's why if you need a one-on-one mentoring relationship to understand the Word of God, you need to know the Word of God. Because if you don't, you'll be taken by a lie. That's why we study it, because in it is life. Who are you listening to? And what is it saying? And what are they saying about you? I wrote down a few things because I believe that maybe in some of these things, these are lies that you've heard, and somebody needs to call them for what they are. So I want to raise your consciousness today, and I want to see if maybe I've picked out some things that the Holy Spirit knew before you even got here that you needed to know today. Can you bear with me for just a moment on that? Yeah. Miss Feaster, who said you never own a house? Yeah. You see, family said you'll never own a house. But that's not what God said. And I'm not telling everybody in the room that you need to own a house. We've looked at some people, and in some cases, renting is good. And renting is good for a season and all that. This is not about renting and home ownership. This is about who's talking to you. You see that? It's not about renting and mortgages. It's about who is talking and who are you listening to. Who said you can't own a home? There's maybe somebody else in this room and you're in the exact same situation. Who said you can't? Who said that you're not going to amount to anything? How many times did a parent in a moment of anger say something and a child remembered it for the rest of their life? The parent's long gone, didn't mean it, but it was a lie and it took root. And now you're believing something that somebody told you way back when. Who said you're not going to amount to anything? Who said you're not going to find somebody you love? There are people that say, I'm not lovely. I'll never find love. I will say to you this, Jesus Christ perfectly loves you. And until that's enough, nothing else is ever enough. Until the love of Jesus, until that's good enough, there is no man, there is no woman that is good enough that will solve that situation. Who said you're not lovable? Every time you look at the cross, it's a picture of the fact that Jesus loves you. Loves you to the point that He died for you. Who said you're always going to be a drunk? Who said you're always going to be addicted? Who told you that? Is that what God said? No. God said, I came that you might have life. God said, it is for freedom that I have set you free. Don't ever give up. Don't ever quit. Who told you that? Who told you that you're always going to be in pain? Huh? Who said you ought to just surrender and say, you know what, I'm just always going to be sick. I'm just always going to be in pain. Who told you that? Why don't you go on and fight against it? Wouldn't it be cool, even if you died with it, that you would go up there saying, I praised you through it, and I never quit trusting in you, God? Huh? Who said that you always going to be in pain or always be sick? Who said you never going to get a job? Huh? Who said that you are not going to get a job? I believe one of the things God's doing, in fact, you ought to invite people here for this one sole reason, for the goodness of God. Because I believe that if you're an Ember, then anybody you bring, if they want a job and they're willing to work, you know what? I believe God's going to give them one. Can I just go and say that? I've just had this sense inside of me for a while that if there were people that needed a job and they wanted to work, that we were going to find jobs for them, that God was going to make a way. So if you need a job, you should come up here because God, I believe, we're going to see it happen. We're going to stick with it. Who said that you can't get a job? Who said you can't improve your family? Who said you can't get off a disability? Now again, this is not a disability thing. There are times where we need it. There are times where you have to have it. But I'll tell you this. There's a lady that walks around here. She's not here today. Her name is Kim Sconyers. She had an aneurysm. It paralyzed one side of her body. She could have lived on disability. But you know what she said? She said, I don't want that. She said, I don't believe that's what God has for me. So she went back to school. She raised a daughter. She graduated. She went to work for mental health. She's now the director of mental health. Yeah. Who said? Who said? Who told you that? Who said that you can't beat or break the system? Now, when I say beat the system, I don't mean hustling. All right? There are those who they think, you know what, they've been lied to, and they think the only way they can succeed is to hustle and beat the system. Can I tell you that God loves you enough that you don't have to hustle to beat the system? Your life and His goodness will beat the system. Amen. Your life will beat the system. People will look at you and say, how did you do it? You must have cheated, Miss Feaster. You must have lied. You must have done something. And you say, not just goodness of God. There is no system. There is no government system. There is no racial system. There is no ethnic system that can hold you down when you believe that God will cause you to rise above it. Need I remind you that they tried to put Him in a tomb, but you cannot put Christians in a tomb because we serve a Jesus that resurrects every time you try to put Him down. And that's in your DNA. Who said? Who told you? And so because of that then, you need not ever say, well, because I'm a woman, such and such. Do you hear me, women? You need not say, well, because I'm a woman, I can't do this or that. Need I remind you that Jesus was born of that woman. And that woman, as far as I know, is the first believer. She's the first one to say, you know what, I believe He really is going to be the Christ. I really do believe that I'm going to carry Him, and I really do believe that He's going to save the world. That was a woman. Took a woman to do that. Took a woman to believe that. And because of that, even back from Genesis, God said, that's how that woman's going to crush that Satan. It's through believing in God. That's how you crush the enemy, is by believing in God. Who said that because of your race, you can't do something? Who said because of where you were born, you can't do something? Who said because your family was maybe taken in poverty and maybe never had anything that you've got to be that way too? Who said? I want you to ask that. Who told you that lie? So here's what we're going to do. Ministry team, I want you to come up. Come on up. We got some people already picked out. If you say, well, Kevin, I've believed the lie. What do I do? Well, here's the thing. Your life was altered because you allowed yourself to be surrounded by a lie. But we sang a song last week, and I believe it holds true for us today. And the scripture was this. It may seem like I'm surrounded by a lie, but in reality, I'm surrounded by You, God. So here's what I believe is going to happen today. Is that you have been surrounded by a lie. And it has changed the way you live life. It's altered the way that you live life. But as we said last week, the devil is in bad shape. I don't know if you know it or not. You may not have been here last week, but we discovered something last week, and it's life altering. The devil's in bad shape because God's got him surrounded. He's absolutely surrounded by God. And you are surrounded by His goodness. So what we're going to do is I want you to come up. I'm going to pray. We're just going to get dismissed. If you need to go, you can go. And that way we can just be free to take as long as we need. But if you believe a lie, we're going to break that lie off of you today. We're going to present it with truth, and the truth will overcome a lie. We're going to break off some vows that you maybe said about yourself. I'm not worthy. I'm no good. Nothing good's ever going to happen to me. We're going to break that crap off your life because that's what it is. Amen. I would have said the other word because it's equally as bad. It is from the pits of hell. We're going to break that off. These people, they know who God is and they know His Word and they can speak that truth over your life. And then that lie becomes surrounded by the truth, and then you begin to change. Now here's the thing. Some things change instantly, and some things change over 6 years, and some change over 10. I don't care as long as they're changing. Right? I don't care. As long as they're changing. This thing's a relationship. And it is when I quit being ashamed of God and I quit trying to hide, and when I realize I can look Him in the face because He loves me. And that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, is because He's saying, I'm trying to get you to look back at me. Because if you'll look back with me, I'll tell you the truth and it'll change your life.